As I mentioned, that as most of you probably already know, we do have a guest speaker here today, Bob Fugate. For many who have been a part of Upper St. Clair Alliance Church for many years, he's not a guest to you. He's been here numerous times over the years, was here 3 years ago. Bob and his wife, Cheryl, are from Pennsylvania. This is their home district. They served in State College before going to Chile in South America, served in Santiago there for 24 years. Then they transitioned in 2014 to Guadalajara, Mexico, and that's where they've been serving since that time. They are now on a schedule where many of our missionaries are on a four-year term, and then they come home for 1 year home assignment. But some, especially those in the latter years of their ministry, opt for a different schedule where they're on the field for 2 years and then come home for 6 months. And that is the schedule that Bob and Cheryl are on. They just returned home not long ago. We're one of the first churches. And in fact, as I mentioned last night to those who were here, those online, we're blessed to have a missionary in person for our missions emphasis this year, because many churches are not able to do so. They're not doing that. So we're glad that they were able to come. So Bob has been involved in church planting, and he's going to talk about that this morning. We're going to pray for him in just a moment. You know, we have him doing double, triple duty. So he's still upstairs talking to the kids, but I think he's coming. I was commenting to someone this morning. He was here last night. I said, I think Bob has been in Latin America too long. He doesn't care about the clock. He just kind of like, well, whatever. Is there a time? I didn't know there was a time, but that's all good. So would you join me and let's pray together. Father, thank you today that we can sing of your goodness and we can know that whatever's happening in the world today, however it may be convulsing, that we have a solid rock upon which we stand, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you give us your truth and the Word of God, and that we can hold on to in a day and age which there's little truth and hard to know what is true, that we know that you are truth. And we thank you that we have the privilege not just to know you and to walk with you, but to serve you and to represent you. And as part of this movement that you've called out, the Christian Missionary Alliance, we are grateful for the opportunity to partner with people like Bob and his wife Cheryl and so many others who've gone to other places in the world where access to the gospel is either non-existent or it's very, very limited. Continue to open our hearts and our eyes to opportunities that you would give us to partner with our international workers. Lord, move our hearts to give, to support them out of the abundance you've given to us. But also, Father, would you help us to be faithful in praying for them? Further, Lord, we recognize that you have a work for us to do, each one of us right here where we live, where we go to school, where we work, because we know that this place where we live is also a mission field, and even though the access to the gospel is great here, we know there are still many who have not yet come to know you. So move our hearts that we would be active, that we would be engaged in mission personally, in our sphere of influence, in the relationships that you've granted to us, that we would be advancing the gospel. And now, our God, we pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds, and give Bob great freedom as he shares from his heart what you've laid upon his heart, and also just reminds us of what you've been doing through the prayers and giving of people here. So we're grateful for him and pray your blessing on him now as he shares. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There he is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're just, there we are. Thank you. Well, that's just a few minutes with the kids, and you guys, it's a beautiful job what you're doing with the children in the midst of COVID, and they are doing great. They're sitting in their little, like, hula hoop circle. Yeah, and they are being so good, and they're listening so well. So, Mom and Dad's here. I really congratulate you for bringing your children It's a hard decision sometimes. We're not sure. We have the same things in Mexico, but what a joy to see them and have a few minutes with them. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me and the church for inviting me. It's like coming home when I come to Upper St. Clair. I see faces out here that we've known over the years. And you've known us over the years from the beginning days 30 years ago, no? And it's just amazing. And I just love the Alliance family in that sense that we've been able to minister all these years. 25 years in Chile and now in Mexico for 5 years. And we do so knowing that we have the support of churches like you who have our backs and are there for us, taking care of us. And in spite of COVID, you're doing a missions conference. Not a lot of pastors are excited because it's hard. But I think when we're done today, I'm hoping that you will be motivated, encouraged. But also, I want to hope we can continue to refocus and refocus and refocus, particularly with COVID out there. Focus on the most important priorities in life. And what we're going to talk about, oh, there it is. What we're going to talk about this morning is the most important priority in life, which is giving glory to God as human beings. And that's the most important thing we can do on this earth. That's the most important thing when we're done this life and we move on. The fact that we've been able to bring glory to God on this earth is one of the biggest reasons, I believe, that we're here. So we're going to try and talk a little bit about that and how we're doing that through missions and how you as a church are doing that through missions. So thanks for having me back. You guys, I love the fact that you've been willing and you followed us through. And today we're going to talk a little about Mexico, where Cheryl and I are working. The project is called South Point. I was here in 2017 in the Fellowship Hall. Remember, we had a dinner there in 2017, and I talked about some of the indigenous work that we were doing, some of the things we had discovered, some of the needs there, etc. And so today we're going to talk about how we're developing our church growth and church planting in Mexico to be able to reach all of this area that I'll mention in a moment. But South Point comes from this area of Pittsburgh, and it's from the South Point Complex, the sign I saw a few years back. It's with that E, and this is what we're using overall ministry that we're doing in Mexico, in Guadalajara, called South Point. If you, down the road, if you pray for us, just pray for South Point. And it's a lot easier for you to remember South Point than it is to remember Tlajomulco, right? Yes. That's what I thought, too. We needed a different name. I'm going to hang this morning's service and message on a verse found in John, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 17. This is Jesus' prayer to, excuse me, I just got a watch live from our church in Mexico. This is a verse from Jesus during his prayer. Right before he's going to be taken into captivity and right before he's going to begin that process then of the cross. And so he's facing the cross. He's facing now the final moments of his presence here on the earth. And he's approaching what is the climax of his ministry here on the earth. And I love this prayer because he says in John 17, this is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, speaking of the Father. I just love that verse because this is the reason we're in missions. This is the reason you're here as a church. This is the reason we're ministering around the world, because we want people to know the only true God. And there are a lot of false gods out there. They're just exploding with the internet service nowadays. And our desire and our hope is to bring the knowledge of the true God to all mankind as a church of Jesus Christ as we move ahead. And then he prays. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And this part I love because remember, this is before the cross. This is before the suffering that he goes through. And this is before knowing that he's going to be separated from the Father, knowing that he's going to take the burden of sin on for all mankind, for you and I. He's praying this prayer. It's done. It's over. It's done. And it's completed. And it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of confidence. And it gives me courage. It gives me boldness to continue to do what God's asked us to do, to reach all nations, to disciple people from all nations. It gives me the courage, the boldness, the faith to persevere and to follow this task. Because Jesus himself is here before that, before walking through this, He's saying it's done. And everything we're doing in Mexico and in our lives here on earth, we've got to remember, God has a plan. He's not surprised by COVID. If you've lost your job, he knew it was going to happen. If you've had someone get sick, if you've had someone die on you, he knows it's going to happen. And so the Lord knows these things. He has a plan. And Jesus represents to me this incredible relationship with the Father, that close relationship. And as we draw closer to the Lord here on earth, we will have more and more of this confidence and boldness. No? From John 17. We're going to come back to this, but I want to hang this morning on this because the title, the theme of our missions conference is unfinished. What are the unfinished areas of the world today? What are the areas that we're focusing in this morning? We're going to focus on a few areas that are unfinished in Mexico, one small part of the alliance. But I want us to do it in this context. We know we have unfinished work to do, but we do so with confidence. We do so with boldness because we know God has a plan. We know God has already opened that door for all humankind to come to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. That door is open. It has been opened by Jesus. It is open today. So everyone you and I talk to, no matter how distant they seem from God, no matter how distant, Jesus has opened that door for them. Amen? And so that's our confidence, folks, and our desire. Now, this is a picture from 219, taken from the neighborhood, taken from my rooftop of our house. And we had, like California having right now, we had these wildfires come through the hills that back up against our house, area where you couldn't get into, inaccessible, et cetera. So you just couldn't fight these wildfires. And they were approaching at nighttime our home. This was one of the last pictures I took before we had to finally abandon. It was coming up over the ridge. We had to abandon our own house because of the smoke. We just couldn't breathe. And this, I show this to show you this. This is what it looked like. That's one of the homes that's in our neighborhood. It's in our neighborhood. We live in a house similar to that. It's a middle-upper-class neighborhood in Guadalajara. And it's a beautiful place, folks. If you come down, we'd love to show it to you. It's just gorgeous. But this is what it looked like just before we realized we got to get out, because we just didn't know if the fires were going to be stoppable. And this I put up as a picture of despair. Have you ever known despair, fear, hopelessness? If you've been there, remember God loves you so much. And again, he has you. He has you in the palm of his hands. And I throw this up there because I took this from our roof. This was at dusk, and it was the last helicopters making their last run. Helicopters are the only way to fight the fires in 219 there. And when they made their last run because they couldn't fly in the night, that was a moment of despair for us. It's like, oh, that's the last resort, and there's no way to stop these fires now. And so for a moment, we just said, oh, Lord, this is for us, this is despair. But then I remember these words of Jesus. I've brought you, what? Glory on earth by finishing the work you've given us to do. And so I want to encourage us today to focus in and make it a priority, the priority of our lives, to give glory to God on this earth. To remember by faith, you are giving glory to God by faithfully following him. You're giving glory to God by serving him in whatever way he's called you to serve. You're giving glory to God by being this church here and being light and salt in a world that is entering into tremendous despair. Mexico's no different. Mexico, as you know, has a lot of violence, a lot of drug violence going on, and a lot of it's between the drug cartels themselves. The trouble is we see it every day. It's always on the news. Somebody's always being shot. And so it's just a culture of fear. We live in a culture of fear. But at the same time, we teach and preach the message of hope in Jesus Christ to bring glory to God from whatever he asks us to do. And as we do that, God will be glorified. And you know what he'll do? He will strengthen us. He will use us to glorify himself. And he will do marvelous things so that others will know that he's real, he exists, and he's the one true God. A guy in our church who has now since come to our church was taken captive I think it was 2 years ago now, driving in his Mercedes, coming home from work, and he had a lot of cash in a back seat and a briefcase because he had just gone around collecting the bills. And he was taken by a group who wanted a ransom. And so they held him for a couple of days and beat him up and threatened him, and then finally they let him go. But his wife was coming to the church, and we just can't tell the church people, we can't say, pray for so-and-so, he's been taken, because they're always told, victims are always told, if you tell anybody, we're just going to kill the whole family. And so the families are fearful that if they say anything to anybody, that they're going to jeopardize their children, particularly, no? And so what they will do is they'll come to the pastor, we're a trusted person, and they'll say, hey, pray for my husband or my son. And this dear lady came and asked for prayer, and we prayed that morning as a church, not knowing necessarily what they were praying for, but we prayed for her and for her husband. And this man had a re-encounter with God in that instance. And you know, when your life's on the line, when your life gets tough, sometimes God will permit us to go through those hard moments. Sometimes he'll let a world go through hard moments so that we realize that we are just man. We are dependent on God Almighty, no? And we begin to realize that we're here to serve him and glorify him. And this dear man, they use him for target practice, see how close they can get bullets to his head, that kind of stuff. Just hard stuff. But his wife, in talking with the captors, was able to get some money together from friends and family, and they were able to pay some of the ransom. And they let him go. They released him. And as he walked out the door of that place, he'd had an encounter with God that night before, and he was no longer fearful. And what really, really bugged the captors was that he wouldn't cry out, he wouldn't cry, he wouldn't ask for mercy. He just said, no, God loves me, so if now's my time, now's my time. And God loves me, God will take care of me. And this just really, really confused the captors. What do you do with someone like this? And when he walked out the door, he told him, he said, it's over here. There'll be no revenge. I'm not going to go get my buddies and come back and come after you. It's over. And I was so thankful he made that decision, because in doing so, he kept his family safe. His wife and his children were safe. But that's that kind of fear. And it doesn't happen to everybody. Mexico's a beautiful place. It really is. But folks, we just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No? And so I want to encourage us to live our lives to the glory of God every day we have and every breath we take. Amen? God will be with us every step of the way. Therefore, remember the words of Jesus Christ. This great work of the church, this great work of missions, Jesus has opened the door for all people to come to salvation by faith. And so we are there in Mexico learning to live in peace, learning to trust God every step of the way, and thankful for churches like yourselves who are here to help us. Central Mexico was where we live and work is our focus, not the borders, north and south, which are pretty well evangelized. There's a lot of good work going on. But we are in the middle of the country. And so Central Mexico encompasses Guadalajara, where we live and work, a city of 5 million people, and then Mexico City, which is just 5 hours away from us, which is about 26 million people, massive cities. And in the area that we live, there's 6 states that we call the Circle of Silence. And there's about 20 million people that live there. This is our goal, to impact this area from 2015 to 2025, a 10-year project, to plant 10 churches that will multiply themselves so that we can leave an ongoing witness in this area by planting churches that will plant more churches. Discipling people that will disciple more people. This is our focus. These are our goals. And this is what we're striving towards, so that by 2025 rolls around, we can say we have made an impact in this area, which is the largest population in the Western Hemisphere, 20 million people, the least evangelized, with few churches. And now, is that not something to get excited about? That should get you going. That should get the motor going. That we have a chance to make an impact in the next few years together. That's where it is in the country of Mexico, about halfway down from the border. In that green circle is where we live and work. Our plan is called 5-5-25, and we're planning to plant 5 churches in Guadalajara, 5 outside of Guadalajara in the outlying states by the year 2025. So we're now in the year 2020. We're halfway through. Praise the Lord, we have been seeing progress made. This is where we live and work. This is the majority of our time is spent in the city of Guadalajara. And the Guadalajara is the place where we're planting our first churches, 5 to 6 million people. But not all of our work is going to be in Guadalajara. I talked about in 2017, some of the indigenous tribes. It's not all in Guadalajara. We're also moving to reach into these other states. So some of it's going to be very difficult to access. Some of the people won't be Spanish-speaking. They will have their own indigenous dialect. Some of them still need scripture in their languages. Some of them have a pretty good amount of the Bible translated, thanks to some of our excellent translation ministries going on from the United States. But we still have areas that need the final New Testament in their language, and areas where we can't necessarily go to, but we can train and disciple people from these groups to evangelize their own groups. Some of the places are extremely inaccessible. I showed this, I think, in 2017, some of these pictures. And some of it's just plain hard. And I'm getting a little older for some of this. So we got to pray some younger guys coming on down and help out. Some of the places, I was telling the kid, you can't take a bike, a motorcycle, car, a bus. Just doesn't work. You probably take a plane. There are some that fly. And some of the people just have the very basics in life. Some of them just need food, medical care, education, along with the gospel. Some of them who live in the outlying areas. These are the challenges we face. They're not easy. They are not something that can be done overnight. It is daunting when we think of the task. But remember what Jesus said. Father, I've glorified you on earth. The work is done that you've given me to do. And the most we can ask is, Lord, let us fulfill your will that you've called us to on this earth. Let us reach into this area. Give us the privilege of bringing you glory by bringing Jesus Christ to these people from Guadalajara out. Okay? Now, this is the way we do it. The way we are able to do this and begin to see the churches grow, to see impact into the area, is by discipling our Mexican brothers and sisters. And we have an excellent, wonderful core group of Mexican leaders. Pastors now, elders who preach and teach and do communion, people who we're going to send out to the areas to do the work that I have gone to check out. And if I survived, they'll survive. They should anyway. And so we're thankful for this wonderful group. We have 6 Mexican families now working with 3 missionary couples as a core group to help plant the churches. This is what makes it possible. It's the joy of the ministry of being able to impact the area of the circle of silence through men and women like this who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. We started in 2015 with a church called Breath of Life Church. It now has multiplied itself into a second church. We went into 2 services where that upstairs of that whole building. It's a very small place. It's only 100 people can fit in there. And so we started going to 2 services because we had just had too many people coming. So by 2018, we ended up with 2 services. And in 2019, then we multiplied off and we started a second campus church in Guadalajara. And this is what Santa Anita looks like on the inside. As soon as we took out 35 people, woof, it filled up again. And so we're looking to start the third one next year the same way. This is the second congregation. We meet under a beautiful tent we've built. We have about 80 or so adults and children now that were coming before COVID, and we're meeting on the land that was purchased by an ADF loan for the Alliance, and it's the only property the Alliance owns in Guadalajara. It's the only one. And so we're so excited to start a church on this land because it's a home base where we can't be forced off, which is what happened to us in the past. We were forced out. It looks a little bit like that. There's some tents, carports. You can buy them in Costco. There's carports that we use for Sunday school rooms, the tent for the adults and stuff, and then we put a container in there, and we have a bathroom in there and a kitchen in the container as well. The parking lot area that you're looking from is where we're going to start building, Lord willing, in the end of this year. Again, these are challenges, but we're amazed. In 2017, if you told me we'd be where we are today, I would have been amazed to know that, wow, look at what God has done. Look at how he has grown and brought disciples in who are unified to one purpose. They are committed to glorifying God in the circle of silence. They are committed to planting churches, and they are committed to working and serving as a family. And so we are just thankful. Cheryl and I, by the way, are the old ones in the congregation. We are about the oldest ones there. Everyone, they're all younger families, most of them, and younger children. That's our focus. And Lord willing, we'll probably be in that tent for another year, year and a half maybe, until we can get the building ready so that we can get into it. We want to build a sanctuary for 500 people. that we can have a center as a church planting center for that whole circle of silence. We're doing the same thing you are. You guys are out here in the hallway this morning. We are as well observing Mexican law and social distancing. So we have tables set up when you walk into the tent area. They're set up for hand gel, face masks, taking your temperature right there, and also for, I think I have another one, and for then the face masks, et cetera, as we're in the services. So we're following the same guidelines you are, and God is just blessing. It's interesting. COVID doesn't stop the church, does it? No. It worries us a little bit. It's like, oof, how are we going to do this? But praise the Lord, we're able to gather together. And if you're like me, man, those couple of months, a couple of weeks in March, we really missed gathering together. People more than ever want to be together in the church. Some of the other things we're doing, along with the church planning in Guadalajara that we've done since 2017, some of the things we're doing now also is food distribution. Through Comma Services and the Alliance World Fellowship, we've been given about $12,000 in grants. And out of that, we started distributing food in April. We've been doing it. We still will continue to do another one or two in September. Cheryl and I, in the beginning, were going down, and Cheryl especially was going down to the market downtown, buying everything in bulk. Now the Mexicans are all doing that. We hand out about 120 food bags that will last a family of four for 7 to 10 days, and we'll do that about every 2 weeks. They go to people in the church, they go to people's neighbors in the church, and they go to the community. So we have a really cool thing going on. We have the neighbors now who are in the church will go around their neighborhood and talk to the neighbors who have needs. And those who have needs will put on a list, their name will go on a list, and we'll reserve a food basket for them. And then the church families will come, take one for their family, and then they'll take five or six for their neighborhood to hand out. And in the baskets are some literature, some New Testament sometimes. Sometimes the plan of salvation is in there as well. Masks are in there as well, face masks, and also we have detergent and disinfectants. This has been a tremendous blessing, and we become known around this area now, which is a lower social economic area where this church is. We become known as a church that's helping the neighborhood. And so people are now responding to us as you're the guys that are helping out the neighborhood. When we open our doors Friday mornings every other week to do this, we have a list of people, but the lines fill up right outside our door on the street, the people looking for help. And we had a beautiful thing happen. One of our missionaries saw all these kids down there because they couldn't come upstairs, the kids out in the street just waiting around. She went and started sharing the gospel story with them. Isn't that cool? Just sharing Jesus Christ with them, and they were just fascinated. And give them some candy, give them some cookies, those types of things. And just fascinated as they come to Christ. Another area we've been ministering in, especially ramped up with COVID, is Circle of Care. It's a women's ministry to women in need, women who have had very difficult lives, to give them fellowship, to give them Bible studies, spiritual growth, salvation, forgiveness in Christ, and to give them community to be together, and also to help them train to do work from their homes so they can help supply their family's needs. If they're a single mom and they can't leave the house or they have young children, we help them earn money from home by training them, making it possible so that they can take care of their family's needs. It's been a great ministry. They have made bracelets. I have bracelets out in the hallway on a table, a little card in there about the Circle of Care. The Spanish is Círculo de Esperanza, and this is a ministry that Cheryl's in charge of, and they make these beautiful bracelets. The ladies get paid, I think, 50 cents per bracelet when they make them. They can make up to 40 a week. We have a limited budget, so women can earn up to 40 bracelets a week making them from home. We give them the materials. They make the bracelets. They bring them back, and then we can pay them for 40 a week. And so they can bet about 160 a month at about 50 cents a piece. That's about $80 a month they can earn, which pays their rent. That's huge. And so I have them out on the back table. They're just for donations. Anything you donate to that little box will go right back to this ministry, okay? And it's for whatever you want to, whatever you can, please feel free. They also switch to mask making. They do hair cutting, teaching women how to cut hair so they can cut hair from home. And mask making we switched to in April, bought 8 sewing machines, and these are just examples of the masks that they'll make for women and children. And these we normally give away. Comma Services and Alliance World Fellowship helped us out so that we can pay the women as well to make the masks instead of the bracelets. And then we can just give these away to those. So those are some of the things that we've been able to do in the last years. God has developed. Cheryl's sitting there with our Mexican director, Leti. She's had a very difficult life. She loves the Lord, and she's now in Bible college, taking courses at Knightley in Bible college. We're going to try and see if we can help her get a master's, et cetera, as she's in charge of this ministry, which has just grown by leaps and bounds. Okay, I need to land this airplane, don't I? Let's land it with what are some of the unfinished challenges that we have out there and that Cheryl and I will go back to as we go back in February of this year, or January, excuse me. Some of our challenges. The biggest one is, again, impact this circle of silence with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The circle of care and all the community development ministries are incredibly effective, but they come out of the local church. We start the church first, and then we, as the needs come in and as people come in with their talents and their abilities, that's what we do. So if somebody knows how to cut hair, we had a person who was a beauty parlor, and she trained everybody to cut hair. We had a person who worked making jewelry. She came in and trained everybody how to do jewelry. And so that's how we're doing this. It comes out of the church plant. So our challenge are to plant the churches first, to share the gospel, make disciples, and then minister to the community. Over 19 million people, 6 states, less than 2% evangelized. That's our target, guys. It seems daunting, but already we're making progress. And this morning, those 4 flags that you see represent 4 areas that we've gone to in the last year and a half to see if we can begin to open up a church plant in those areas. 3.5, 4.5 hours away from Guadalajara. Normally we go by car, and we try to see where we can begin ministry. So those flags may be future churches. So when I come back, Lord willing, in 2020, then, whenever, Lord willing, we'll see some of these flags converted to churches. Isn't that exciting? And God is starting to open these doors. Let me share with you a little bit about the unfinished task. First of all, Guadalajara. Lord willing, we're going to start a 3rd church in February, an outgrowth of our other church. We'll take about 35 people, live in another side of town, a very low socioeconomic area, and we'll open up our doors. And do you know why we have faith that this church will grow? Because of guys like this family. Do you see what he's carrying? Can you make that out? It's a pickaxe. Okay, I love this picture. This was our first Sunday we were going to have service in that new church plant. And this family agreed to come work in the church plant. The wife is a believer. She loves the Lord. The 2 boys came to Christ. One's in college. They are now believers. But the husband, who's a wonderful guy, just isn't there yet. It's like, I'm not really there yet, right? But he says, I love what you guys are doing. So he signed up to come help us plant a church. Is that awesome? We know God's working. We know God is opening hearts. He's softening hearts. It's just a matter of time before he says, you know what? I am ready. I am ready. It's a countercultural change for these guys. But they say, I am ready because I've seen God work in my family's life. He's carrying a pickaxe because before we started that service Sunday morning, we still had work to be done around the tent. So he came early with a pickaxe. There he goes working to try and get us ready to go. And they just come they come Sunday mornings early to set up the chairs from the container. And he's not yet a believer. We've asked him to help us with our marriage encounter just to serve others. And we know it won't be long before God just opens up that heart because Jesus has said, hey, this work is done. The door is open. And so guys like this and families like this in Guadalajara who are just looking and searching, we are there to say, God loves you. Cities like this, in outlying areas of Guadalajara. Mexico, folks, is a beautiful country. Oh, it's just gorgeous. The people are the most hospitable in the world. They take such good care of Cheryl and I. They love on us. The minute I pull up to church, the teens are out there saying, Pastor, what do you need me to carry into church? How do you want your coffee? I mean, they're just great. They just take care of us. They don't let us lift a thing. They're always there. And they open up and they close. They just love us to death. These are the most hospitable people. It's not the Mexico you see on the news, okay? And by the way, I told you last night, there's a Costco about 2 miles from our house. There's a Sam's Club about 1 mile from Costco, a Walmart next to Sam's Club, and an Applebee's in the Walmart parking lot, okay? So you're not going to lack if you come down. We have a lot of tremendous things and just beautiful people. This is a city that is known as Guanajuato, and it is the most violent state in the country of Mexico per capita. For homicides. And we're trying to see if we can't start a church plant there. It's about 3.5 hours away. Arturo and Rox and Cheryl and I went to investigate a small group of people. There's a small Bible study, about 15 people on a Sunday afternoon. We drove from Sunday morning from Guadalajara, ran out of our church service, drove the 4 hours, 5 hours, got up there for 6:30 service with them. They meet outside. There's nowhere else to meet. There's no church building. There's no house anyone has big enough. So we just met outside as night fell. We just had our phones to light up the area. These folks are looking for some way to grow. They're Christian believers, some of them, not all of them. And they're looking for a way to grow because there's not a church in their area. How can we not minister and ask God to give us a chance to put a church there? No? Aside from the problems, remember, Jesus Christ, if he's called us to do it, he's faithful to see it through. So this is one of the areas. Here's another one, a small little church in an area that's even more distant from us. These guys are 7 hours by car, went there in July. That little building is their little church. That's their little church where they're meeting. We're trying to see, can we help them? It's a very poor area. We were there for a birthday party, and it was a blast. We had a little birthday party with them, and it's a small group of people. Lalo, my Mexican co-pastor, did a small service. We taught them about communion. They'd never done communion. We taught them how to do communion as we were there. And let me show you, let me tell you how they started. The man in the middle and his son, with a beard and his son, have a family member, a sister and a brother, whose 20-something son was working in the United States. Now, he was in Birmingham, Alabama. Family was going to an Alliance church in Birmingham, Alabama, a Latin church, Spanish-speaking church. And the son was killed in a shooting in the auto store, auto mechanic shop where he worked. And he had got winged in the leg, they told me, but he didn't hide. He went to try and help his friend, who was also shot. And when he went out to try to help his friend who was shot, he was killed. So the family was just mourning the sudden loss of their son. They couldn't go back to this area in Mexico because they didn't have their documents and their passports. So the body was shipped back to be buried in his home area. And the pastor of the Alliance Church, the Latin pastor, went back. And he went and he stayed 10 days to be with his family in their house. And they started having Bible studies and praying and had a small funeral service. 10 people came to Christ in that time. 10 people came to Christ. The pastor had to leave. He doesn't know how to continue the church from Birmingham. He's asked us, could we help? We're not sure if we can or not, but it's one of the unfinished tasks. Because when I went there in July to see what was going on, already a cult moved in to try to hijack them. And they were giving them teachings that Jesus was not God, he was a man, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we were just so disappointed and so angry to see that the enemy is trying to move in and hijack this small group of believers. So we're looking for, Lord, how can we plant a church in this area? Outside of, and it meets our, again, it meets our goals of impacting the circle of silence to plant churches, 5 churches at least in this area. So that's something else to pray for. And lastly, and I got the wheels down, Pastor, and we're going to hit the runway here. Lastly, I'll show you this wonderful couple. His name is Luis and his wife. They are from the family of an indigenous group called Purépecha. They live about 3.5-4 hours south of us in the mountains. And he is a believer. He has come to Christ. His wife is as well. They make these beautiful dresses, ladies. Can you imagine? They just sew all that, do all that embroidery work themselves. It's just gorgeous. And they make them for their girls, too. This is their real cultural distinctive. They have their own language, but many of them understand Spanish. So that really helps us, particularly with the younger generation. But the story behind this, the backstory, is that Luis is now with his wife ministering the gospel in this area among the Purépecha people. And they're doing so because they themselves are Purépecha. But Luis and his mom and dad had come to the United States. They were working in West Virginia. He was doing housing and roofing and doing very well. He bought a house in West Virginia, had a car in West Virginia. They were living the life that many Mexicans aspire to. But during this time, his 16-year-old daughter is diagnosed with cancer, bone cancer. And so she dies in Johns Hopkins. And in the process of grieving for his daughter who's dying, someone shares the gospel with him in West Virginia. And he comes to Christ. He gives his life to Jesus Christ in West Virginia. And when his daughter dies, they decide they need to bury her back. Same story. Isn't it interesting? Very similar story. They need to bury her in her homeland. And so they go back to their homeland where they're going to bury her. And as they get back there, they see the spiritual darkness. They see the poverty. They see the great needs. His family is there. and they say, we're going to stay here, and we're going to open up a church to minister to this area. He was not a pastor. They're not a pastor. But they have decided to open up a church there, and it looks a little bit like this. I was there. They were cooking me tortillas on the open fire, the wood fire. They are great cooks. They're so good people. They asked me when I was there Friday night, what do you like, Pastor? And I said, oh, well, I thought we were just talking. They were doing the menu. I didn't know it. There was the menu. What do you like? And I said, well, you know, I like pancakes and eggs and bacon. And Mexicans love a great American breakfast. They love Denny's. They love Denny's in Guadalajara. And so they love all that stuff. And I said, oh, I love shrimp. God, you guys like shrimp? I love shrimp. Well, guess what we had the next day after church? They cooked a huge pot of shrimp up. And the whole community eats together. It's very communal, these groups of people. So the whole church community, there's about 25 or 30, they all eat together. And we had shrimp for everybody and pancakes and eggs and bacon for everybody. They just have a heart that is so open and so desirous. Oh, let me go back. I'll stop with them before I get the last one. And these folks, this pastor came to Christ, this man and his wife. His son Luis is now helping him plant the church. There's now about 35 adults and children there meeting. But they have had intense persecution. The town has tried to come against them. The town has tried to kick them out, run them out. They wouldn't. Luis bought a taxi, or Alberto bought a taxi, the dad, to pay, sold his house in West Virginia, bought a taxi, a car to try and survive that way. They wouldn't use his taxi service. They wouldn't sell them food. They were ostracized completely because of their faith from the community. And then they just tried to burn them out and run them out, which they were unsuccessful. So for about a period of 8 years, they lived with tremendous persecution. They didn't give up. They did not quit. They stayed there in spite of it because these were their people. Their father disowned them publicly, on and on and on. Until one day when a group of people were trying to run them out of their house with torches and everything else, God sent two big dogs out to attack them in the middle of the night. And these two big dogs, nobody knows who they were, but they attacked the mob with torches and guns, and they bit a bunch of people, and everyone ran away home scared. God preserved that little family safe and sound. They're there today. And the next couple of days later, the leader of the mob came and said, we quit. Your God is too powerful for us. We quit. You can stay. And so, guys, what do? How do we not plant a church there? If God is opening the doors to the circle of silence, and Jesus said, I've come to glorify you, Lord, how can we not do this? So I want to challenge you, encourage you. And the last thing, and I am landing this plane, is to help us build this building. And the building is a 500-seat sanctuary. It is an impossibility, just like Lord, how do we get into these outlying states? I don't know anybody there. We have no context, but you do, and you know, and you have a plan. And by faith, and this is by faith, God, we will follow you. Whatever door you open, we'll go through. Amen? And so that's what we're doing, folks. And the same thing with the building. Lord, we don't have land. God gave us a beautiful three-acre piece of property, or three-quarter-acre piece of property, Life Development Fund. The property was bought at $230,000. It is now worth $1 million. So from 216 to 220, it's gone to $1 million because they built a huge mall. Oops, that's not the mall. What happened to my mall? What are you doing to me, Ryan? There it is. Okay, that's the mall. What a change, no? That's a beautiful mall. It's a quarter of a mile from us where our church property is. So, folks, we want to put that church there. We really do. We're going to get building, I think, permits in about a month or two. It's been 2 years, and we're just praying this through that God will give it that. So the land was an impossibility. We got the land. The building, everyone says it's an impossibility. But you know we have about $120,000 donated so far to the building? Is that awesome? We need about 150 more, I think, something like that. I'm not quite sure yet. So I want to challenge you guys. There's a lot of challenges out there, a lot of unfinished work. This is not a time to get lax. God will do this. I'm convinced of this. Let us focus on glorifying him in everything we do here in this earth, whether it's in Pittsburgh or St. Clair or Mexico, we're all the same. And by faith, ask God to do this. Are you with me? By faith. Lord, would you do this? It'll be by faith. And it has to be by faith, because if it was by man, God won't get the glory. But if it's by faith, he'll be glorified. So what you've heard this morning, these potential church plants, that's the work of God. That's all God doing this. It's not us. It's not our plans. It's not our knowledge. It's not my good looks. It's God. God will use any one of us no matter who we are, if we love him and by faith serve him, he will use us. Amen? What will he do this year to finish these tasks and to reach the circle of silence? God bless you. Pastor, God bless you. Thank you so much.